Welcome to the Lutheran Prayer Hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O
Him, hear us, Father, when we pray.
Yeah.
reading from John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I come from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you come from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The key word from today's gospel is ask from Jesus. In the next 3 days before ascension were called the asking days in Latin, rogation days, and this Sunday, rogate. It was once the tradition that farmers would bring their pastors out to their fields. They would sing the litany together as everyone processed. The pastors would bless the fields, and the children would beat the bounds of the parish, which means they'd smack at the fence lines with sticks to drive the devils away. It's spiritual crop insurance, and most of it pure superstition. But how easily today prayer itself becomes the superstition, and then how easily we toss it aside when it doesn't work for us. Small talk is always about the weather, but especially on the prairie and at this time of year. I never check my rain gauge, so I'm never prepared for it, but there's either too much or there's not enough, and the conversation always goes the same way. "Well, you have an in with the big guy, Pastor." The lake people and the gardeners are praying against each other, and the pastor is caught in the middle as usual. Now, are we just joking about this, or are we more superstitious than we want to admit? Prayer this time of year is serious business for the pastors and for the farmers. A pastor has a duty to pray for his flock. He oversees the royal priesthood's living sacrifice and prayer by proclaiming the word of faith that makes calling on the name of the Lord possible. Now, that is a task that requires much prayer. But so is farming. Rain makes or breaks a crop, and even the most advanced planter has no button to control that. Farmers are more aware than most of us that they live only by the Lord's mercy. They rightly pray because of it. But farmers also live in the world of insurance. So is prayer just one more policy? It seems to me that other than pastors, farmers are the most faithless and the most faithful in their prayers and in their work. In all they do, they deal directly with the stuff of the Creed's first article, creation. They live by the promise that the Father who made everything still will take care of them. They're in the business of daily bread. But they struggle with the saying of Jesus that their Father in heaven sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Farmers are tempted to work and to pray just like the world does, without faith, ordering their week by the crop rather than by God's word, fearing hail and drought, loving full bins, and trusting in the market or in the law of averages, being not just earthy, but worldly. They might also hedge their bets with this or that holy man while they're at it, or sometimes all of them. Farmers teeter on the edge of faith and unbelief. But they just put out in the open how it is with each of us privately. Whether you're students braving the school halls, citizens paying our bills, mothers rearing their children, we believe and we pray and we work in faith on the basis of God's promises in Christ alone, and we do not believe. We give up or twist prayer and we labor as if it truly were to make our own living. We believe and yet we pray, help my unbelief. We are faithless and faithful. We are weak. The farmer's anxiety is no different than ours, except that maybe like everything in farming, the rest of us have to multiply it by 10 before we can grasp it. Dear saints, look at the disciples in today's gospel. It's no different with them. Oh, now you're speaking plainly, Jesus, they say. Now we believe. And Jesus responds, is that so? Do you now believe? For the hour is coming and has come when they would be scattered, when the disciples would not be able to stay awake even 1 hour in prayer. Our worship and prayers also falter because our faith falters. We are easily scattered. We are weak. We do not ask as we should. Romans 8 insists that we don't even know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with sighs that are too deep for words. He works faith in those who cannot by their own reason or strength believe. He is the comforter, the helper. He even prays for us in our weakness. We are mixed up. We are at the same time faithful and faithless, sinner and saint. Our prayers reflect this. We pray faithfully when we commend ourselves to God's will and care as dear children to their dear Father, expecting and waiting eagerly to receive from Him. We pray faithlessly when we use prayer to garner God's favor or as an insurance policy, not knowing what to expect, unwilling to wait out of desperation rather than out of hope in His word. Prayer's proof is in the promise, not in the pudding. We pray not because it works, but because God is listening in Jesus' name. We pray because Christ is so generous to us that by His blood we are reconciled to God and we have access to His throne of grace. All things are ours, all of them. So we pray that we may realize this and be kept in such confident faith. Otherwise, our prayers are not in spirit and in truth. They are not an asking that is in Jesus' name at all. Just consider what happens to the Lord's Prayer if we pray without faith. Our prayers are the fourth petition, daily bread, which includes everything that we need to support this body and life. They become hedged bets. Our prayers are the seventh petition, deliver us from evil, become unhinged from the sixth, lead us not into temptation. We forget how it is that the Lord truly delivers us from every evil of body and soul and possessions and reputation, namely, through baptism, through the forgiveness of sins, through the Holy Sacrament, and finally when our last hour comes, by taking us from this veil of tears to himself. We don't pray because there is power in prayer to wag the dog with God. We pray because there is power in the gospel, the power of God unto salvation that is ours in Jesus' name. The Lord invites us to pray in that name, not because we have nothing, but because we have him. Because we already have everything that truly matters in him. We pray so that our joy may be full in receiving, instead of our hearts being fixed on ourselves and the stuff for which we might pray. Harvest, comfort, entertainment, even our health and our happiness, all of which cannot bring true joy. All of which fails. And whatever is finally not in Jesus' name remains merely in our name, and it will not remain forever. Prayer has its origin, rather, in Christ's Amen. Amen, I say to you, ask that your joy may be full. And from there our asking proceeds confidently in his name, because all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. When prayer isn't an exercise of this kind of faith, then it is doomed from the start. And by doomed, I certainly don't mean that it won't yield the outcome that we want when we want it. It is doomed in the same way that the disciples' boast was doomed. Oh, Jesus, now we know that you know all things and you don't need anyone to question you. Well, quite the opposite. It is because Jesus knows all things that faith questions, asks the Father for everything in his name. We believe that Jesus is the Christ who has come from God, who has redeemed us and who has now ascended where he ever stands for us as our own high priest, where he is making sure that our prayers in his name are covered by his blood and are heard by his Father, whom he has now made our Father also. Prayer must never be unhooked from this faith in him. Prayer is the posture of that faith. Jesus says, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. My time will come, and then faith will give way to sight as all is revealed at the last day." But here, now, we live life only by faith. In that day we will ask for nothing. Now we ask for everything. We live on the receiving end of God's donating mercy, as last week's epistle said also. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Now this is why Jesus gives us this promise to encourage us. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Maybe some of those Rogation Day practices ought to be brought back. We'd all go out to our farmers' fields and get some mud on the vestments and receive from the Lord's hand with thanksgiving every good thing. We must know that those fields are only holy and blessed, but that they are, because everything created by God is good. And it is to be sanctified, made holy for our use by the word of God and prayer, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4. Perhaps we should bring back the blessing of mothers as they return to the church after birth, not with holy water and some papistic superstition, but bless them with the word of God and prayer, that they may hear that their labor is not in vain in the Lord, in Jesus' name. That they may receive every good gift from God and know that the Father will give them joy because he himself loves them. And maybe we should gather regularly and bless houses as our Lutheran agenda provides for it, so that marriage would again be holy matrimony, going forward in the confidence of God's word and prayer. Or start with something much simpler. The head of the household, take the word of God and read it to his family. Each home, learn, confess, and pray the catechism together so that it shapes them as Christians, living by faith in their vocations. Now that isn't an ancient or arcane practice, like any of that rogation stuff. There's no superstition about it at all. But you may use it to sanctify your house and your family and your work and your whole life. This is just God's word and prayer we're talking about. But that is the source and exercise of faith, the word which creates faith by the gospel and faith which prays as an exercise of it. God's promise bestows everything to faith. His gospel is given so that in him we may have peace. In the world we will have tribulation, constant temptation that pulls us from faithfulness into faithlessness. But take heart, for Christ in whom we pray has overcome the world. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. In Jesus' name. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Cherubim and seraphim come to me.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O God, from whom all good things do come, grant to us, your humble servants, that by your holy inspiration we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding perform the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, that we who in all our troubles and adversities put our trust and confidence in your mercy may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lutheran Prayer Hour is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Lutheran Churches of the Missouri Synod in the Wahpeton-Breckenridge area. This morning's broadcast was sponsored by the Men's Club of Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend and was conducted by the Reverend Sean Denzer, pastor of Trinity and Peace Lutheran Parish. If you have no church of your own, we extend a cordial invitation to worship with us at Trinity. Divine service is held every Sunday at 8:45, with Sunday school following and a brief Bible study beginning at 8. If you have any questions regarding the Bible or the Lutheran Church, or any comment regarding this morning's broadcast, kindly address them to KBMW 605 Dakota Avenue, Wahpeton, North Dakota, 58075. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.